Welcome back to the Athletic Baseball Show for Monday, August 21st. This is On Deck. I'm Steven Nesbitt, and I'm joined by Levi Weaver. Levi, last we checked in on you, not feeling so great. How are you doing today?
I don't have a fever anymore. I also don't remember anything that I said on Wednesday, so I apologize if it was just like me speaking in broad generalities and discussing things like time travel. I was just all hopped up on NyQuil and fever meds. So doing a little bit better now, hopefully.
Good. Glad to hear it. All right, what are we doing today?
Today, we are going to talk about the New York freaking Yankees, who are making the news one way or another in all ways at all times. We are also going to preview our series of the week, and we are going to check in on our arms race slash homer chase and see if I can make a stunning comeback in one, see if I can put a finish to my worthy opponent. Sorry, I'm still not quite back to full health, so I don't have any good joke intros. That was just actually what we're really doing on the show this week.
No, he really is going to bury me in one category and is making a massive comeback. Spoiler. And the other, so Levi, I actually want to mention, because I just saw this before we hopped on, you know, we're seeing a bunch of call-ups. This has nothing to do with the Yankees, because we got to start positive here. Seeing a bunch of call-ups because of the time of season it is, you know, rookie status being preserved and all that, but a notable one today at a lower level. I don't know if you saw this. The Padres, after 9 games at high A, are calling up 17-year-old catching prospect Ethan Salas to double A. This dude turned 17 on June 1st. We're going to get a catcher in the majors at 18 years old. Like next season. If you're at double A, you're here next season.
I mean, unless he just comes out and completely flops at double A, which there's no reason to believe that that's going to be the case. But it is the biggest jump, right, in the minor leagues, going from high A to double A. That's kind of where you start to get actual like capital P prospects that are on the verge of the big leagues. You really get your first taste of like, okay, this is the big boys. So we'll see how he does the rest of this year. But yeah, there's a very good chance that he becomes the first teenage catcher since Pudge Rodriguez. Has there been one since then?
I think that was it. Yeah, I'm here for it. And I understand if an organization says, look, if we want him here by even 20 years old, then we need to be putting in with the better pitching prospects with our best coaches and all the way up the, you know, the chain. I understand that makes sense. So it looks extremely aggressive. I'm sure they have a plan. It's fun. People love to see, you know, teenagers doing this type of thing. So welcome to double A, Ethan Salas. And then now to the real news of the day, the Yankees spiraling to an 8-game losing streak. I saw this is the longest losing streak they've had since August of 95. I don't know. You're doing a 95. I was a 4-year-old walking around and Ipui, France. So had no idea about the Yankees at that point. So
I was 15 struggling in Rio Vista, Texas, population 509. So I think you were doing better in 1995 than I was.
same population, just different countries. So the Red Sox are just coming off of a sweep of the Yankees. The Yankees had previously been swept by Atlanta, if I have that straight. And the Yankees, the good news for them is they almost had a lead in the series. That went out the window in the 8th inning on Sunday when IKF, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, got thrown out at the plate on a very good relay play, and that was it. Justin Turner put the finishing touches on with a go-ahead double in the 9th inning off of Clay Holmes. That was a sweep there. And so on our previous show, I mentioned the three-headed dragon meme where Aaron Judge and Garrett Cole were the strong, healthy ones, and the rest of the team was the Joker one. And Garrett Cole gets banged around in this series. 6 runs, 4 innings, didn't look good, and he's up over a 3 ERA. So I don't know what kind of damage that'll do to his Cy Young candidacy. I think he's still got a really good case. But bottom line is this team is firmly in last place. It was a battle between the 4th and 5th teams in the AL East. The division is not going to slow down for them. Apparently, you're seeing talk now that there was a closed-door meeting at some point. I was reading MLB.com's version of this. Closed-door meeting with Aaron Boone talking to Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman. I just don't know what comes of this for the Yankees. It seems like they must be preparing to make some big decisions here, because this team is, they're out of it. They're out of it, and you got to make some big decisions coming for the offseason.
Would you like to guess where the Yankees rank in starting pitching ERA in the month of August? So we're talking post-deadline.
It's horrible.
By the time this thing airs, it's going to be August 21st. So you got basically 3 weeks of data to work with here. Yankee starting pitching.
I just saw Brito got completely rocked. That must have been Friday's game. And it's going to be really bad. So I'm putting them, I'll give myself a little cushion, but like 26th.
You should not have given yourself any cushion. They're 7.50 ERA And this is not counting Sunday's game. 7.50 ERA from starting pitchers, dead last in the big leagues in August. They've had the worst starting rotation. And that's a rotation that includes Gerrit Cole, by the way, has been the worst starting rotation in the big leagues since the month of August started. They've been just bad. Like, I was looking at the numbers, and there's just not anybody that's standing out as being exceptionally good right now. Anthony Volpe has been already, when you're talking about your three-headed monster, like, there might be another little head trying to grow up, like a little baby head between the other two good ones. And Anthony Volpe's been just fine. I think he's going to be a solid big leaguer, probably here for a long time to come. But everything else has just been very mediocre in the pitching, very mediocre in the hitting. Month of August, they have a 372 slugging. That's 25th in the big leagues. And this is a team that has both Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge in the lineup. And they still have the 25th best slugging percentage in the sport for the month of August. It's just bad. At some point, it doesn't help to do any more analysis. Just like, whatever you look at, you look at anything you want. It's all bad. It's not good.
In the long run, like, Volpe coming on late in the season, in his rookie season, that could be great news for them, right? There are a lot of questions about just how, you know, after all this fanfare, the second coming of Derek Jeter here, you know, just how ready this kid actually was for the majors and to make an impact with his bat. And he's doing it. That's great. So in the long run, that's awesome. They have their shortstop. They're all set there. But this rotation is an unmitigated disaster behind Gerrit Cole. I have to look at this again. I think Gerrit Cole has an opt-out after this year. I think if he opts out, I'm talking completely out of left field here, so I could be wrong in parts of this, but I think if he opts out, they can choose to pick up like an extra couple of years or something like that, or it guarantees the rest of his deal or something like that. Anyway, I don't think he's going to opt out. I definitely don't. I'm not saying that. But behind him, they made a decision to bring in Carlos Rodon, which seemed like a great decision, right? They had let Jameson Taillon walk. I'm trying to think of who else has gone from what they had a year ago. But then Nestor Cortez has not been the same pitcher. Frankie Montas has been hurt the whole time. Domingo Herman is now out seeking treatment. And, oh, Luis Severino has been terrible. Moving forward, I don't know who you actually feel good about. Rodon, you assume good health moving forward, but that's two guys in a rotation that needs five. And I don't feel really good about almost anybody there, even though, you know, Clark Schmidt could be a good number four, number five, but I don't think you want him as your number three. So they're going to have to make some moves in the rotation in this offseason, and they also need a lot of help in the lineup. So I don't know where you can count on them going.
I mean, it's to the point that they're having Michael King start games now, right? Like, maybe that's the answer, to just let one of these relievers start games.
Clay Holmes was a failed reliever in the Pirates organization. Go throw him out there for six.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima crew neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads. An ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew Neck T-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLB Show.
Let's get to our series of the week. I know that series is both singular and plural, but every time I say it, get to our series of the week, and people think, oh, there's only one series of the week. No, there's two. And that's frustrating to me every week. Just a little peek behind the curtains. Just going to take the fourth wall down for all of our listeners and let you know. It bothers me every week when I say series of the week and then I have to mispronounce it on purpose. I am looking at the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox. The Astros just got their Astros handed to them by the Mariners over the weekend. They now only lead Seattle by a half game. They're back 2.5 games in the division. In the AL West, they are only a half game up on the Seattle Mariners, who have been absolutely on fire. I still think that Houston's dangerous. I think that they have as good a chance to overtake the Rangers as anybody. But when you look at their pitching rotation, it's been a little shaky. You know, Framber Valdez, hey, no hitter, that's great, but he's also got a 4.71 ERA for the month, and his FIP and XFIP are not suggesting that he's had any bad luck. Christian Javier, 5.65. His peripherals are actually even worse than that. Jose Urquidy, 5.23. He's had a little bit of bad luck. Even Justin Verlander, 4.50 ERA this month. Hunter Brown, 4.50. JP France is the only one that's really had a strong, strong, consistent August. That's a 2.20 ERA, but his FIP is 4. His XFIP, 4.72, so he's maybe gotten a little bit of luck. One thing on Verlander, he is only this month pitched to a 6.5 K per nine, which is kind of, that's lower than you expect to see from him. That's not exactly the Verlander you expect to see. Also an interesting thing for Verlander, by the way, like I want to look at the contrast between Verlander and Hunter Brown. I don't know how this works, so maybe you can help me out. Verlander has a 4.50 ERA this month. His FIP is 3.93. So you go, okay, a little bit of bad luck. His XFIP is 5.23. That's worse. Hunter Brown, on the other hand, exact same ERA, 4.50. His FIP, 5.69, but his XFIP is 3.50. And it makes me think that it's almost like they just got those two pitchers confused when they were filling in the columns, but I trust Fangraphs did not. They do good work. Do you know how XFIP works and how to explain that? Because I don't.
No, I have no clue.
Okay. Well, then that's just a little statistical oddity that I'm sure one of our listeners will let us know.
Okay, hold on. It uses projected home run rate instead of actual home runs allowed.
Oh,
so let's just say that and be like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
and then move
clearly
on.
That's duh. I was just making sure you knew. The Astros offense has been better of late. Jose Altuve has been worth 1.3 FWAR in August. He's hitting 1094 OPS, so he's back to being Altuve. Kyle Tucker's been great, 6 home runs this month. Yainer Diaz is an interesting one. He has a 986 OPS this month. OPS, as we all know, is on base plus slugging. Would you like to guess how many walks Yainer Diaz has in the month of August to boost the on base percentage of OPS?
I don't know anything about his profile. I'm going to say he doesn't have very many.
He has 0 walks in August.
Yes.
He has 279 plate appearances this year, has a total of 6 walks. This man does not take his walks, and yet he is still a productive big leaguer. That is like me playing MLB The Show, is what that is.
Let the slug do the work.
Yeah. So the Astros looking good, despite good-ish on the offense, not so great on the pitching, despite getting swept by the Mariners. I still think I like them in this series over Boston. Boston is 66-58. They are 3 games behind Seattle for that final wild card spot. Their rotation, Cutter Crawford, James Paxton, Brian Bayo, Chris Sale, Nick Pivetta, all of them have been kind of like, Cutter Crawford's been pretty good, but his peripherals have all been not so good. Same for James Paxton. On the offensive side, the Red Sox, have you ever done the thing where you go, I don't know that player, and then you look him up and you're like, oh, wait, that guy? I did that today with Pablo Reyes. I was like, who is Pablo Reyes? 986 OPS for the Red Sox. I'm like, I don't think I know Pablo Reyes. I need to be watching more Red Sox games. Who is Pablo? And I pull it up. I'm like, oh, that guy from the Pirates and the Brewers, like the utility infielder. He has been tearing it up for the Red Sox this year. Who knew? Not me. I need to watch more Red Sox games.
I was looking back at my old tweets the other night of Pablo, just searching Steven Jimenez, but on Twitter, on X, Pablo Reyes. Pablo Reyes is the National League's Gold Glove right fielder. I was feeling him that day. The rain continues. Please ask me questions about Pablo Reyes. John Becker of Fangraphs asked me, better baseball player, Pablo Sanchez or Pablo Reyes? I mean, people in September 2018, were really, really loud about this guy. And really, it was just me. And here you go. Here's the last one for me. September 26th. I will submit my National League Rookie of the Year vote this weekend. In the interim, I must ask you, the Pablo Reyes campaign, to please stop flooding my inbox. I get it. So I still found down the road of this guy who really didn't show up until 2023 as an impact bat.
Well, yeah, he's here now. He's helping the Red Sox. Who has not been helping the Red Sox quite as much as I expected? Trevor Story. He's this month hitting just 200 with a 5.58 OPS, kind of getting a slow start back, which I guess might be to be expected when you miss as much time as he has. I still think I like the Astros in this series, but if the Red Sox can come around and do the same thing that the Mariners did and beat up on the Astros as they chase that wild card spot, that could make the wild card a little bit more interesting.
My series of the week, I waffled a little bit picking actually two misfires. First, I did the Twins Brewers, which I liked, and then I found out it was a two-game series. I can't go with a two-game series. I can't get up for a two-game series. And then I said, okay, Rangers Diamondbacks. That has some real implications. Another two-game series. I'm not going to go with that. So what did I settle on? I settled on the Phillies hosting the Giants. These are two wildcard teams currently, first and second in the NL wildcard spots. Philly up 2.5 currently on San Francisco pending Sunday night results, which are happening now, and they're down 4-0. It would immediately down 4-0 in that game to the Nationals. In the Little League Classic, I think it started like single, 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 double, single before they got the first out.
Have I that right? Seen, by the way, some of the bats that the Phillies players are using.
That's like the bats you were making for Sandlot.
Yeah. Yes, I love it.
So San Francisco only a half game up on the Cubs, though, and then 1.5 up on Arizona, Cincinnati, Miami. So they are in a vulnerable position, as I'll get to in a second. So the Phillies, you kind of know what this team is. They've had some really good starting pitching, and the lineup has enough guys who can mash to figure things out. Jake Cave has been great lately with Brandon Marsh out. Brandon Marsh just got back. Bryce Harper has been on fire. I still think they're going to figure something out, and they're going to maintain their lead in one of these wild card spots. So I think they're okay. The Giants, though, I think are a more interesting team because they just do not pass the sniff test. Like, I think they can really be caught by one or any of these teams. Arizona is a good one. Cincinnati, I still think if they can figure out their pitching and get healthy, which they're beginning to, they're interesting. So the Giants have lost over their past 2 weeks of games. They're 4-10. They just lost 2 or 3 to the Braves. Just called up top prospect Kyle Harrison, lefty, who numbers are not super pretty right now at AAA. Big strikeouts, big walk numbers too, unfortunately. But going from pitching in the PCL to home games at Oracle Park, like, is a world different. So maybe that's going to work out for them. They are a team that's just driven by rookies this year. They just called Luis Matos and Casey Schmidt back up, and Patrick Bailey's been great for them this year. So can they figure it out? Yeah, maybe, but it just does not look to me like you just look at that lineup. It does not look like a playoff lineup to me. And as I was researching this team a little bit, I accidentally stumbled on this fact, because I was like, who's stealing bases for them right now? Because I know they have Tyler Estrada. He can steal some bases and hit some homers. Actually, I stumbled on the fact they have fewer steals than any team in baseball, 46. The Rockies at 47. Ronald Acuna, Estuary, Ruiz both have more steals than the entire Giants team this season. The Giants have not stolen a base in the past 25 games. This is a season like they're begging teams to steal. 25 games. Acuna has 12 since they have one. I was looking at the breakdown of their season. The first day after the All-Star break, they stole 3 against the Pirates, successfully stole 3 bags, and then they have 2 since the first day after the All-Star break. So this team is afraid of running. Oh, yeah, producer Brian, big Giants guy. So he's trying to make excuses. Estrada was hurt a lot of that time recently. Okay, that honestly is a good excuse for why he isn't running, but the rest of the team, lead-footed, I guess. The probables for the series, Kyle Harrison against Aaron Nola, Alex Cobb against Tywin Walker, and Logan Webb against Michael Lorenzen. I mean, it's that rotation for the Giants works. It's just really, really short. How long can you work with 3 guys when injuries befall you? So the honorable mention series I wanted to throw out there, I already mentioned the 2 gamers. Toronto at Baltimore is a big one. A lot of implications there because Seattle is coming. And Seattle's caught up to, if I'm not mistaken, they've already caught up to the Blue Jays.
Yep, and taken their playoff spot. Ahead.
Yep, that also means that Seattle against Chicago is an interesting one. The White Sox, because the White Sox are not good. However, they're hosting the hottest team in baseball, 6 games in a row, 6 wins in a row for Seattle. And when you combine that with the fact that Texas has lost 4 in a row, Houston has lost 3 in a row, boy, they've made up a lot of ground here. You know, we didn't want to have them as the lead again today because we've done that like twice in a row. But our debate of can this team, you know, make the playoffs, would you bet on them or Toronto? I mean, this is
I should have gone with my gut.
The other direction now.
I should have just gone with it and been like, yep, it's Seattle.
And the last thing I needed to say, because I'm getting like propaganda from Tigers fans, is they've had some terrific hitting lately from some of the young hitters. They're still not a good baseball team, but Spencer Torkelson, Kerry Carpenter, both over 1.2 OPS in the last 2 weeks. Riley Green, Akil Baddoo figuring things out. So there, brother Dan, I've talked about the Tigers. Moving on to the On Deck Arcade, maybe we just breeze through this one. We're running long on time. There's not really any need to talk about this.
I don't need to gloat. Yeah, okay. let's breeze through it.
Okay, the arms race. We pick one starting pitcher every weekend. We can only pick someone from each team once, and so we're getting down toward the bottom of the barrel. But I went with Max Scherzer this week, and you went with Justin Steele from the Chicago Cubs. Steele's line, pretty simple. 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs both earned, no homers, no walks, 7 strikeouts. That's a game score 2.0. our favorite number of 66. That's a great number. That wins you a lot of weeks. Max Scherzer went out against Milwaukee on Sunday, so we don't have his game score 2.0. However, his line, 3 2/3, 3 hits, 3 runs, all earned. No homers, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts. So I'm going to just say this one's going in your favor, which puts us, unfortunately, at I think it's like 12-3 in your favor. So the horse has left the barn. This is curtains for me on this, but we'll keep going and enjoy our arms race because I really want to see who you're picking when you're down to like the Nats. You know, you only have them and Oakland, you know. So that's where we are.
It's funny you should mention that. Let's go ahead and move on to the, to the home run chase.
So the more dramatic, you know, half of our competition here, the homer chase, we pick one player each week, similar rules, except that it's cumulative. We have a guy for a whole week and tally up his homers and it gets to our total. I had a nice 3-homer lead entering the week. I've been leading since late May. And yet I picked Corbin Carroll. You picked Christian Walker. I said more at-bats, more plate appearances for Corbin Carroll. He's just got a few less homers. He hasn't homered since July 23rd. I hadn't really looked that up. And he had 0 this week. And Christian Walker went ahead and hit 4 homers in the first 3 days of the week. So, Levi, you have the lead, 22-21. And you've gone on such a tear. You have 9 homers to my 2 in the last 3 weeks.
Yes!
I was convinced that I was toast in this game. I thought I was done.
Christian Walker went nuts. Christian, and I'm lucky he like took the second half of the week off because it was bad. So with that, I'm going to make my pick first. And there are a couple teams I've saved, and this is one of them. The Miami Marlins, I'm going to go with Jorge Soler. Let me Google and make sure he's healthy because that would be pretty embarrassing. He's at 32 homers on the year, and he goes to San Diego and then is home against the Nationals. It's not like a dream matchup, but he just hit a couple homers the other day, so he's healthy. Thank goodness. But I'm going to go with Jorge Soler. There's a backup option I felt pretty good about, but there's no like going to Coors this week that I was going to take advantage of.
So I actually did a slight bit of research on this one too. While I was looking up the Yankees ERA, I happened to look to see which team is giving up the most home runs per nine this month. The Yankees are first. They are allowing the most home runs per nine in all of baseball this month. The Miami Marlins are third. And it just so turns out that the Washington Nationals are playing the Yankees and the Marlins this week. So of the vast number of slugging prodigies on the Washington Nationals, I picked the Keibert Ruiz. He's hit the most home runs for them this month. So I'm choosing Keibert Ruiz. Let's see what happens.
I did not have Keibert Ruiz as someone who's going to get picked this year.
No, it was him or Lane Thomas. Ruiz has a higher slugging percentage, and I just figured he had a better chance of getting into one. So here we go.
Listen, the way you've been rolling, I'm not going to say anything negative about that pick because it's going to turn out wonderfully for you, I'm sure. It is time for us to get out of here. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to Brian for producing today's show. You can find our work all week long at theathletic.com. Subscribe to The Athletic for $2 per month for the first year at theathletic.com/baseballshow. Sign up for The Windup, The Athletic's daily baseball newsletter with Levi and Ken Rosenthal for absolutely free. Coming up next in your feed, Starkville with special guest Jed Hoyer. The Cubs president of baseball ops joins Jason Stark and Doug Glanville, and you're not going to want to miss that conversation. Give us a follow on Twitter. Levi is at 32EFIS, and I'm at Stephen J. Nesbitt. The two of us will be back on Thursday with more of What's on Deck.